Y'all go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts 9. The Lord, we were in this a few weeks ago as we were looking on Wednesday night and talking about Cornelius and Peter and God surprising us so often. And the Lord just kind of had me lingering around in Acts 9 and 10 and just looking at the different edges of the Scripture and just different things in that, and just kind of won't let me get away from it. So I'm going to come in and I'm going to talk about us recognizing opportunity. I think one of the things that that we miss out on living our life to the fullest or maximizing our life is we go through life and we fail to recognize opportunities that are near us. And when I say the opportunities that are near us, it's twofold. It's not just the opportunities for us to, in a physical sense, but opportunities for us to minister to people, but also opportunities for us to be ministered to. The thing that I really jumps out at me in this Acts 9 and 10, of course, this is the story of Peter, and you know, we have this break in action. You know, we come in and Peter's coming in, and we see him going down to Samaria and ministering in Samaria after Philip brings revival. And then after that, we see the conversion of Saul and becomes the Apostle Paul. And there's a parenthetical break in there where there's a couple chapters where it's really focusing on the Apostle Paul. You don't hear anything about Peter. And then all of a sudden, Peter burst on the scene again in 9:32, and he's going out through the different, the King James says quarters, but he's going out to the different places. He's checking on the disciples, the different churches, ministering to people, see how they're doing and all of that. You know, the Lord tells us to make disciples, and part of discipleship is follow-up and staying connected with people. And I see Peter doing this. I see Paul doing this. And that's one reason they were so effective, is being spiritual fathers in people's lives. But the thing that really jumps out at me in Acts 9 is and 10 is a lot of times when we go through life, we recognize the opportunities that bump us right in the face. You know, the ones that are just standing right in front of us. And we're like, oh, okay, yeah, man, I can. But the thing about the stories that we see interwoven in Acts 9 and Acts 10 is these individuals, and this is both end of the spectrum on the receiving and giving end, is these individuals are recognizing opportunities that are near. Not necessarily opportunities that are right in front of them. These are opportunities that require some effort. Opportunities that require some discomfort. Some opportunities that require going to another city or sending for someone or going and ministering to a group of people that, you know, with Peter's example in 10, when he goes to Cornelius' house, he's like, y'all know it's not lawful for me to be here ministering to y'all because y'all are Gentiles and I'm a Jew and all that. Nevertheless, and I think that we will, I know that people's nature and church is no different than the world, because we come in and when things are convenient for us or easy for us, we're more apt to do them. But the harder something gets and the bigger stretch that it is, then we tend to kind of fall by the wayside. And I want us to be a people where we begin to recognize the opportunities and things that God wants us to do on a global sense, and be more proactive in pouring into that, in reaching out to that, tapping into resources that are out there. We live in a small world, guys. And, you know, I can be anywhere in the world in 48 hours. And we tend to come in and live in the confines of our convenient life or our small life that we make it. And God wants us to really get out of our boxes. And that's not necessarily always a geographical thing. Sometimes it's a thing of support or connecting with people or different things like that. So it doesn't mean that you have to go live in the Philippines or Dubai or anything like that. But it is a thing where we've got to recognize that God has created opportunity for us on a global sense. God has placed us in an extremely, based on the world view, we're extremely wealthy people. We have opportunity to impact more. We have opportunity to travel to be impacted more. And the thing that really jumps out at me in Acts 9 and 10, I promise I'm going somewhere with this. I know I'm being a little bit random. But the thing that really jumps out at me at Acts 9 and 10 is these people are coming through and they see God moving in a city that's somewhere else, and they say, dude, we have need. Let's go tap into that. Or so-and-so is here. Let's go tap into that. Or I've got opportunity to minister right here. Let me move on that and respond to that. And I want us to be a people that are seeking opportunity and recognizing the when God is stirring or God is moving or opportunity for me to do this or this or this, that I don't sit back and say, well, man, that's too much of a stretch and all of that. One of the regrets that I have in the different movements of God, well, let me back up before I even go there. Two of my spiritual heroes that are alive right now are Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker. They're just tremendous people. Both of them are changing the world. I look up to them. They are just huge. They're spiritual giants. And both of them, in their testimony, in their life, in their ministry, had very, very, very significant encounters with God at the Toronto outpouring up in Toronto, Canada. Now, Bill Johnson lives in Redding, California. Heidi Baker, living in Africa at the time, she still lives in Africa, but she was living in Africa. It took effort for them to go to this and engage, and in their case, to be ministered to. Okay? It was not convenient, but they recognized opportunity. I mean, Heidi, if you listen to her testimony, she was just flat out burnt out and just like at her wit's end and all that. And physically, she was toast. And she kind of went almost out of a point of, you know what, something's got to give. And so she went in a real, real place of desperation and need. Bill was, man, I just want more. I need more. There's got to be something more, you know, and that's got to always be our heart cry. But my point is they went to this place where God was moving and doing this tremendous, tremendous move and all that. And both of them had Genesis moments. And it was opportunities for both of them to be ministered to. And now we see the results in the way that they minister on a global scale. I mean, Heidi's, her Iris Ministries is worldwide. They're feeding and educating 10,000 kids a day. Just tremendous. And we know the global impact that Bethel's having right now. And they went out of a place of convenience and recognized opportunity and seized that opportunity. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight is, how do we recognize opportunity? And it's not always across the world or across the country, but sometimes it can be. And how do we seize that? Not only from a standpoint of I'm going to get ministered to, but how can I minister to people? And I've done that in different times of my life, and it's some of the, we talk about the Genesis moments and all. It's something that made a real, real big impact on me one time was when we were down in Hamilton at the ramp, and Lori and I had the opportunity to help minister down there. We went to be ministered to, but we had the opportunity to help minister down there. And we baptized like 800 people that day, and that was significant to me. Wasn't that you, Lori? I mean, we were out in the middle of the river out there baptizing people. The big creek, I can't remember the name of the creek, but it's a really big wide creek and all that. And they got a huge baptism where, but we helped baptize 800 people that day, and the people were getting so whacked out when, you know, I was baptizing people and then carrying them out because they were going in the Holy Ghost. You know, just laying them up on the riverbank, and that was just that gave me, expanded some vision in me. That expanded some stuff in me. But it took effort for me to go down there to engage in that. Okay? And so I want us just to look through in this in Acts, and I want us to just recognize these things and look at these things and talk about these things some. Let me just read some notes I've got right here. We go through life and we fail to recognize opportunities that are near us, and I underline near us. I'm not talking about the stuff that slaps us in the face. I'm talking about stuff that is near us. Opportunities to both minister and to be ministered to. We see individuals throughout Acts 9 and 10 seizing opportunities that were near them on both the giving and receiving end. How many individuals are unheard of because they fail to recognize opportunities? we've got these stories of these different individuals. I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight, guys. It's going to be a little bit of an unusual thing. But we see these stories and these all of these awesome things that happen with Aeneas and Tabitha and Cornelius and all of these guys. How many people do we not hear their name or have their name written in here because they fail to seize an opportunity or recognize an opportunity? Peter was spending a great deal of time in this area, in this region. And how many people are not written in these pages? How many women at the well that never became the woman at the well because they failed to recognize opportunity and engage the Lord? I know he engaged her, engaged that. The woman with the issue of blood, she engaged the Lord. She sees, she recognized opportunity, she sees opportunity. The Syrophoenician woman, she saw opportunity, she recognized opportunity, and she seized opportunity. And I want us to really go through, and y'all have heard me hit this in different areas and different elements. I really want us to heighten our awareness to what's around us. Okay? Heighten our awareness of that, and then say, let's pour into this. God's really changed my mindset on weddings in the last couple of years. To be honest with you, I used to not like to do weddings. I was just like, people would ask me to do it. If it was somebody really close, I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. That's cool. Me and Gordon were having this conversation 2 days ago. But God really shifted my mindset on weddings in the last couple of years. And I think part of it was because of Jacob and Stephanie. And I said yes because I felt pressed on by the Lord with them to do their wedding, even though I barely knew Jacob and had never even met Stephanie. But I felt impressed of the Lord when they approached me about doing their wedding because we had a mutual friend and all of that. And I saw the fruit that came out of that. And God told me, he said, these weddings that you don't like doing, he said, they're an opportunity for you to pour life into a couple. They're an opportunity for you to release kingdom into a moment, not just for the couple, but for everybody that's there. And so it's really shifted my mindset on that. And I don't go out looking for weddings because, you know, I'd say, man, it ties up a whole weekend, Friday and Saturday and all of this, you know, a typical thing. And I'm like, you know, that's precious time for me and all that stuff. But now I've shifted because I said, you know what, it's an opportunity for me to pour into people. It's an opportunity for me to pour into a moment. It's an opportunity for me to change the atmosphere in the environment. And guys, our mandate as Christians is to what? To come in and release kingdom into this culture. It's to come in and change our environment. It's to change whether it's our workplace, whether it's our school system, whether it's our communities in which we live. It's to really come in and change this culture and change the environment. And we got some changing we need to do. But if we come into a place where we regress on seizing opportunities or regress on even recognizing opportunities, then we're a non-factor. I mean, we're a neutral thing, and a neutral thing has no impact whatsoever. God really wants us to heighten our awareness of the opportunities that are around us, and whatever that looks like. I mean, Randy, me and you had conversations. You run into that in the laundromat, man, where you'll have situations where people will come in and just, you know, a myriad of things, and it winds up being a thing where sometimes you're the one ministering to people, and sometimes it actually winds up rolling back around and ministering to you. You know, we had you guys, y'all come in, y'all were in town, you know, for 3 weeks of training or 4 weeks of training. Y'all Googled a church and y'all wound up here on Sunday. And God really ministered to you. And y'all are back tonight. And that's awesome. You know, and you're like, man, my wife's coming in from Texas. We're going to be here Sunday. We're going to go to the beach, but we don't want to go to the beach because we want to be here Sunday. And y'all are recognizing opportunity for God just to breathe something fresh into your life or maybe have a Genesis moment in your life. You know, and you say, man, our church is just a lot like this church and the same feeling. A lot of that is good for y'all and good for me because, you know what, we're not in this alone, guys. God's got people that are spread out all over the planet that are just as passionate and pressing in just as hard and seeking Him and wanting more and are hungry for more. And these things are opportunities for us to connect to that, to feed off of that, to encourage our faith, all right, and to bring in things and make room for the anointing in our lives. And that's a lot of what seizing these opportunities are. And I'll hit on that in just a second. But let's just start reading in Acts 9, verse 32. Acts 9, 32. Anybody got anything you want to throw out? It's open for them. If y'all got any comments, man, jump in. Y'all don't be bashful. Everybody good? All right, Acts 9:32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. They saw Aeneas and they turned to the Lord. So this is just the launching out thing. But I see in this in verse 32 and 33, Peter is proactive. He's going and he's checking on the saints, the church, and all of that stuff. We don't know if people brought this guy to Peter, but it said that he found a certain man named Aeneas. Perhaps some people said, hey man, there's this cat I want you to minister to. But he recognized the opportunity was there. And this is the same Peter that people would bring people and lay them on the streets so that his presence as he came by would fall on them and they would receive healing just from his presence with the Lord. He carried his presence that much. I told y'all about the lady that we ran into in Charleston a couple weeks ago when Lori and I were up there. And if you were here, and I was just sharing for a few moments, it was really cool. It was one of those opportunities, Micah. We were eating with Randy and Terry, and it was in one of our favorite restaurants up there. It's a little small boutique, cool little restaurant, got an outdoor courtyard area. And it was kind of cold that night, so we were sitting out in the courtyard, and there was one other couple there. You could tell, you know how it is. We were the tourists, they were the locals. Well, we started up conversation. And, they ask us, so what are y'all doing? And, they say, y'all were here for the Food and Wine Festival. We're like, no, we're not here for that. My granddaughter's got a gymnastics meet in Savannah, and we're hanging out for a few days before we go down there. And they said, well, what are y'all getting into tonight? I said, well, we're going to go hear some music. And I'm trying to go through this real quick, but I just want to make a point. We're going to hear some music. And they said, well, what kind of music you like? And I said, well, we like all different genres of music. But I said, what really stirs in me, I said, is praise and worship music. I said, that's what, I like blues and jazz and all of that stuff, and that's cool. But I said, that's entertainment. I said, but what stirs my heart is praise and worship. I said, I love Bethel praise and worship and Elevation praise and worship and Jesus Culture praise and worship. And, they said, our daughter went to Bethel. And we were talking about this last Wednesday night. They said our daughter went to Bethel for a year when she graduated college, and she just wanted that year break. She wanted to go out there and all that. And they went to a Spirit-filled Lutheran church in Charleston, which blew my mind. And we talked about that some with Brother Kenny last Wednesday night. But there was an opportunity all of a sudden, and how many of y'all have engaged in conversation? I'm getting them worse the older I get. How many of y'all have been engaged in that conversation and you get to a point and you're just like, okay, I'm done, and you'll just cut it off because I really don't want to talk to you and I really don't want to go nowhere further in this conversation? And you've kind of got, I'm trying to edit real hard right now. You've got back off stamped on your forehead. How does that open up opportunity for us? But we all do it. There are days that I'll do that. I'll be on an airplane flight, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And I'll sit there, and I'll do a three-hour flight, and I'm good about sleeping on an airplane. I can fall asleep before it takes off. And, so I'm sitting here, and I'm just like, man, I'm going to check out, and I'm going to snooze, especially if she's not with me. But I've had some amazing conversations with people because I didn't have back off stamped on my forehead. And I actually engaged some people and saw some opportunity and all of that. And we go through life and we don't want to get engaged or recognize opportunity. We wound up having a tremendous 10-minute conversation with this couple. And when we began talking kingdom stuff, she had a twinkle in her eye. I mean, you could see it. The woman just had an absolute twinkle in her eye as she began to talk about kingdom stuff. And I'm like, man, that chick's legit. You can just see it. There was something that was just penetrating in that. And we just had an awesome, and it was encouraging for them, and it was also encouraging for us. So we recognize an opportunity for ministry there. We weren't seeking it out, but it was there. One thing I have found, guys, is sometimes you've got to really seek it out, and sometimes you don't really have to seek it out. Sometimes it finds you. And I don't know what the case was right here, but everybody seized it. This guy was open to Peter ministering to him. All right? Peter was open. He found this guy, and he's like, dude, let me pour some kingdom into you. I've got healing from the anointing of God. I've got this gifting, and I want to pour this into your life. Here's the thing that we need to recognize, guys, is that we are carrying so much. We are carrying what the world needs. We're carrying what the next generation needs. And we better look for every opportunity to pour into that. Every opportunity to engage into that. And that starts with our spouse. That starts into our family, our kids, our grandkids, and all of that stuff. You know, right now I'm digging the opportunity I've got with my grandchildren, and seems like right now in just this little space, Zealand especially, you know, because he's wanting to get on Poppy's hip, man. I mean, he's wanting to go drive a tractor with me every day and feed the cows and all that stuff, you know. And he don't know nothing about hunting. He's already told me I'm going to do hunting and all that stuff and everything. And, you know, he's got the flu today. I got to carry him to the pediatrician. He just thought that was grand because Poppy took off work and carried him to the pediatrician in Union. And he thought that was awesome. But the cool thing, man, and Aaliyah told me, she said, you know, Dad, we were went and dropped Sydney Hannah off at preschool on Monday, I guess it was. And she said, we were coming home from preschool, and she said, Zealand just matter of factly just looked over at me and says, Mama, you know what? She said, what, Z? She said, Poppy's my best friend. And I'm sitting here saying, man, that's my 3-year-old grandson. You know, and I'm digging it, but you know what that is, Chris? That is opportunity for me to pour into him. Because every time I'm watching him, and every time we're doing something, he does the same. If I'm walking and I spit, you know what he does? He spits right after I spit. We ate Chick-fil-A after we got through at the pediatrician, and I was getting my sweet tea, and I said, Z, you want your drink? I don't want my drink. And I started reaching to get my drink. And he said, Poppy, you taking your drink? And I said, yeah, I'm taking my sweet tea, because, you know, it was one of them 84-ounce deals. I'm going to suck on this thing a while. So you know what he decided? I'm going to take my drink. You know why he was carrying his drink? He wasn't thirsty, but Poppy was carrying his drink. So that's just one of my points on this whole thing, guys, is we've got to recognize, and you know what, I could be so busy, you know the old Cats in the Cradle song back in the 70s, I guess it was, when some of us were teenagers, and y'all remember that? You know, where you're so busy and you miss out because I'm busy doing life. Well, that's doing life, guys. I'm not saying we shut down from the things that we have to do, but we better recognize the opportunities and the seasons that it gives us. And sometimes it's a moment, and sometimes it's a month, and sometimes it's a year, and sometimes it's 5 years. That's my approach to these Blake House guys every Wednesday night when they come. They're in 10-month cycles. I've got 10 months to pour into these guys. And if they're here 3 out of 4 Wednesday nights, you know how many times they get to hear and experience the presence of God up here? 30 times in a 10-month cycle. So I've got 30 opportunities to have a big impact in their life. 30. That's it. 30. Y'all know how many of those guys I've had come up to me afterwards and say, man, I got saved when I came into Victory Fellowship. Or they'll come up to me and they'll say, man, I prayed to receive Christ with you down an altar. Or I rededicated my life. Or I got baptized at y'all's church and it was so significant to me. And we have some of them, man, they'll come back and visit and loop back through after they get out. And there's one of the guys was here 2 weeks ago when we were going to Charleston. And I would come in and I recognize and I said, I've got 30 opportunities to pour in and to help change that man's life. So I'm really not afforded the luxury of coming in and having an off season because I'm in a ticky mood. You know, my lips run out and I'm just aggravated with life. I get aggravated with life. I get it, guys. But the opportunity for that guy, opportunity for these guys from Texas and Iowa, you know, the opportunity for whoever that's coming in here, whoever we're going to meet on that day and on that job and in that thing and all that, and we've got to learn to recognize these things and see things. And it's not a heavy thing. I don't want you to go through life and feel like this thing is heavy because it's not heavy. It's just being who you are in kingdom. It's just coming in, and the Lord gave me a word for Robin. It was pretty cool because the Lord gave me a word for Robin Sunday, and I shared it with her and all that stuff. And I didn't know that the next day she was flying to Minnesota for training all week. And the word that I gave her for Sunday fit perfectly. I didn't have a clue that she had just taken a new job. I'd prayed with her about the new job. Didn't know she had formally accepted it or she was going to she's in Minnesota right now on training. But the word I gave her Sunday was perfect. It was applicable for Sunday morning, but it was perfect for what was happening this week. So, what if I'd been one of those things where it's like, man, I ain't feeling it today. How many of y'all been where y'all ain't feeling it? Today, or in life, or this month, and this season, or whatever. And we've got to recognize that even when we're not feeling it, we can still be powerful. Even when we're not, sometimes when we're not feeling it the most, God can have the biggest impact on us. Sometimes where that, I'm at the best place. You know how I really know that she loves me and is committed to me? When she loves me at my worst. It's easy for her to love me when everything's going good. Right? That's easy. But what about when things are tough? What about when I'm not the A-plus husband? And she still loves and she's still committed and all of that stuff. All right? Maybe when I'm at my worst is when she sees the most opportunity to pour into me. That's when you really find out when the rubber meets the road, right? I mean, that's it. That's it. So we see this in Peter coming in and Aeneas and the opportunity. And look at the result of it in verse 35. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, meaning Aeneas, and they turned to the Lord because of what Peter did in his ministry. Now let's jump to verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days, that she was sick and she died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. He was living in the present. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and sewing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Was that not great timing for her death? What if she died a month later and Peter wasn't anywhere around? Think about it. I'm pretty excited to be living in the day that I'm living in. I know everybody says, man, the world just sucks out there and it's going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm pretty excited that the days that we're living in right now. I know there are problems and I know there are issues. I know that it's not perfect out there. And I look and, you know, on one hand, I'm fearful for my grandchildren or even my children. You know, Micah, your generation. That's my kid's generation and the seed that's going to come after you. But at the same time, I see God moving in such a mighty way. I see such an outpouring of His Spirit. And so that's exciting to me, you know, that I can run into in a courtyard in a restaurant in Charleston, people that go to Spirit-filled Lutheran Church and their kids just came back from Bethel and they're all pumped up about kingdom life. And I'm like, man, that's cool. That's cool. That's powerful. You know, my nephew's over ministering in the Middle East right now, and he's talking about the connections and the people. He got to spend a day with a guy over there, a Pakistani, I think, had just got saved. You know, and so they're God's connecting these things, and God's doing things in these Muslim countries, in all of these places, man. And that fires me up. And instead of us coming in and we're like, well, she's dead. What a glorious time to die. But think about it. What if she, like I just said, what if she died a month later? And Peter wasn't there. He said, it's bad. Yeah, but there was a solution. That's my point in this, guys. Is there was opportunity for her because Peter was near. And everything that we go through that we think this is awful and this is bad and this is hard, and not only in our personal life but in society, we can sit here and we can say, yeah, but we have this ever-present help in time of need. And His name's Holy Spirit. And Jesus said He was a guide and He said He was a comforter. And He says He's dwelling within us, and so we've got that. So what a glorious time to go through tough stuff. I look at the opportunities that are around us. I look at the so much stuff that we can tap into. It's amazing. The awesome So I got home this afternoon a little bit early, man. You know, it took me 30 seconds to pull up a Bill Johnson sermon and sit there and listen to a 45-minute sermon this afternoon. What an awesome time to be able to do that. Wouldn't have afforded that luxury 10 years ago. You couldn't. And all of this is right here at our fingertips. And I want us to recognize the opportunity. I know it's hard. And I know there's stuff. But she sat here and died, but the good thing about it was Peter's close by. It said that, look at this right here. The disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Opportunity was near. Now, Lydda and Joppa were not that far apart. They're just a few miles apart. But somebody, how many of us had, you know, one thing that really stretched me one time, and I'm not going to name any names, but a year or so ago, I had an individual, and it was and somebody from in my past and all that, but their spouse died, and I went to see him at the funeral home and all of that stuff. And you know what he did? He's like, I want us to come in here and I want us to lay hands on her and pray for her that she'd raise from the dead and all that. And I've had people ask me to do that before, but that is the first time I ever went in and actually would not have been surprised if she hadn't got up out of that casket. Because there was a level of faith in that. She didn't, and they buried her. But there was somebody that says, you know what? There's a dead person in this casket, but I'm going to... There's opportunity here. I'm not ready for her to go. There's opportunity right here. And I want us to get to the point, guys, where when we recognize opportunity's near, let's seize that thing. And if it's in the form of somebody that's a, you know, we're close to this anointed man or woman of God, then let's go tap into that. If there's opportunity for me to go minister to somebody, then let's tap into that. Now, that's one thing that I'll see in you, Gordon, and I'll applaud that about you, is there is such a sense of brotherhood in the Bikers for Christ and these guys that God's called you to minister to. And Shane does the same thing. I see the same thing in you, Shane, that if somebody has a need, you guys will drop whatever you're doing and drive halfway across the state if y'all think y'all can go in and minister to that need. You're recognizing that opportunity, not just obligation, but opportunity is there. And y'all will seize upon that. And that's what all of this is about, is us recognizing that more and seizing and taking advantage of that opportunity. And I see that with you guys, and I applaud you in that. And we need to continue that, but we need to flip it also. If there's opportunity where I can go, I'm not saying that you've got to turn into a conference junkie. But we invest more in our physical life than we do our spiritual life. When's the last time that you guys drove more than 2 hours to go to a church service? That's a stretch, ain't it? When's the last time you drove more than 2 hours to go to a church service? You ain't got to raise your hand. Some of the most powerful seasons in my life, we'd get out of church, and some of y'all did this with us, we'd get out of church on Sunday morning and drive to Hamilton, Alabama. When we got out of church, we would catch the drive through at Zaxby's, and we'd go straight through Birmingham, and we'd go to Hamilton, which is right on the Mississippi line, just for one church service. And when that church service was over, you know what we'd do? And it was a three-hour church service. When the three-hour church service was over, the only restaurant in Hamilton at that time was a Sonic and a McDonald's. So you had a choice of fine dining there. And we would eat that real healthy for us. We would eat that about 11 o'clock at night, and then we would drive 3.5 hours back to Bremen, Georgia, and then get up at 6 o'clock in the morning the next day. And it was glorious. It was glorious. And you know what that's doing? It's recognizing opportunity. You know where I baptized 800 people in the river? In Hamilton, Alabama, in the middle of nowhere. It was glorious. But it's recognizing that God is moving and doing something in a place, and going and feeding from that and tapping into that. I started to mention something a while ago. One of the regrets that I have in my spiritual life is me and Lori went to Brownsville, but we didn't go to Brownsville when it was right at the crescendo of everything going on. We went when things were kind of here. We didn't go when you waited in line 12 hours just to get in church. You'd get out of church and then you'd go get in line to waiting for church the next day. People from all over the globe. And we were 5 hours away. And we went at the end of a few years into it. And I got a regret I didn't do more at the beginning. That's just me. When these moves of God, and these things are significant, guys. When these moves of God, I talked about the Toronto outpouring. When these moves of God are stirring and doing and things like that, dude, you need to recognize opportunity and you need to tap into that. We need to make more road trips to South Carolina, Micah. But here's what we do. You know what? We'll say, I can listen to it on podcast. And I do. I'm a podcast junkie. I get on my wife's nerves because my cell phone has either got Bethel Worship playing on it or a sermon playing on it about all the time that I'm, and Lori's like, can we just have a little bit of quiet? I'm a podcast junkie, but it's not the same. Because there's something that gets released and there's something that gets poured in. I want to chat, and that's from a receiving end. But I want to challenge you guys. If something is near and you say, what's near? Back then, it was a day and a half, 2 day journey was near. I can get anywhere on the planet in 48 hours, so everything's near now. Jeremy and Sonny just got back from Napa. Sonny had a 12-hour class. They flew to Napa for a 12-hour class at a university out there, Cal Berkeley or somewhere like that. I asked Jeremy Sunday, I said, how was the trip? He said, man, it was awesome. They spent a few days on vacay out there. But they flew to the other side of the country for a 12-hour class. And he said it was glorious. Not necessarily the class, but the journey that they went on. And we miss out on these amazing things. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I don't know, as the way I'm kind of rambling tonight, I don't know if we'll get there or not. But when Peter went up to Caesarea with Cornelius, you know who went with him? A bunch of the Jews that were just there, they said, man, I ain't missing this. Road trip. If Peter's going up there and there's a guy that had a vision, a Gentile that had a vision, and the Holy Spirit's about to do something in it, I ain't missing this. You know what? Count me in. I'll put my life on hold for 3 days. And we'll do it after everything else, but we won't do it when we have opportunity to minister or be ministered to. I was talking to Errol's pediatrician today. He's a big turkey hunter. He's like, man, yeah, I go out west. I go everywhere. I'll go hunt Miriam's in Nebraska, and I'll go hunt Rio Grande's over here and all of that stuff. And I'm not knocking him. That's great. That's awesome. I do the same with big game and everything else. But my thing is we'll do it for physical, natural stuff, but we think it's too extreme for spiritual stuff. Right? Come on now. I'm talking about us recognizing opportunity. So they're sitting here, and they say, hey, man, Peter's only like one city over. Let's send for Peter. Awesome idea. So they go, and in verse 39, they came, and they said, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. You got the same mindset on both sides here. They said, let's tap into this guy, and he said, let me pour into these people. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and then it talked about all the widows. Verse 40 is one of my favorite sermons out of that, making room for the anointing. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Killer sermon in verse 40, making room for the anointing. This is so layered in talking about recognizing opportunity. Peter came in and he said, there's opportunity for something great here, but I've got to make room for the anointing, so I got to dismiss some people. I got to dismiss some stuff. A lot of times we don't seize opportunity in our life and in this thing in our life. You know why? Because we don't make room for it. I'm trying to be more intentional. Just recently, I'm trying to be more intentional and carving out more time where I can be in a place of study or prayer or devotion, all that, so God can speak to me and stuff. You know, it's hard for the Lord to speak to me when Sports Center gets me for an hour every night and I don't have time for Him. You see what I'm saying on that? Got to make room for this stuff. Got to make room for opportunity to minister to people, opportunity to minister to whether it's the little ones that we were talking about a while ago. So he came in, put them all forth, kneeled down. He ministered to her, raised her from the dead, verse 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. What if he stays at Lydda? What happens to Joppa? Tabitha get healed, raised from the dead. City get converted. You got Simon the Tanner's like, dude, come stay at my house. Probably didn't even ask his wife. He's probably just like, she's staying at my house. Talking about seizing opportunity. That's making room for a prophet. How many of us, our lives are too crowded to make room for that opportunity? Can you imagine having Peter hanging out in your house? He might have been gruff and he might have been rough around the edges and he probably wasn't everything that we... But you know what? He was carrying that kind of anointing on him. Peter says, Simon says, stay at my house. Please stay at my house. Opportunity was near. He sees that thing. Opportunity was near and he sees that. Well, I told you guys, man, we swapped cell phone numbers. I said, man, let's get hooked up before y'all go back. I want to go out and eat with y'all. And because I want to hear y'all's testimony, man. I want to hear y'all's life. And an opportunity for me just to pour some kingdom into y'all for a couple hours one night. You know? Is that convenient for any of us? Maybe not. But it's opportunity. Recognize that. And I said, man, that'd be cool. You know, why not? Why not? Why not seize opportunity when it's there? Why don't we do it? You're staying at Robin's house this week. You got an opportunity to pour into Haven all week long. I know y'all, you and Robin are good friends and you're around Haven, but you've got a unique opportunity to pour into her. Do you recognize it as I'm doing a Robin a favor, or do you recognize it as I've got an awesome opportunity right now? I really want y'all to recognize the opportunity that y'all have with these kids right now that are so connected to you guys. It's not just Nick, but you guys. I really want y'all to recognize that and seize that opportunity. I mean, seize that thing. Because you know where these kids are going to be in a few years? They're going to be in college or married. Or moved off somewhere and all that. Hopefully you'll have another crew coming in right behind them. And I feel like you'll probably stay connected with Trace and Dee and some of them. But it's still going to be different. They're not going to be in class on Thursday morning for FCA. They're not going to be coming in and say, hey, Coach White, and all of this stuff. So the seasonal things are things that we need to recognize and seize on also. Everything about it, the dynamic of it, is constantly in flux and changing, and we need to recognize the points of opportunity and all of this flux and changing in all of it. Anybody, any comments? Still something out there? Y'all good? Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say tonight? Y'all good? Okay. Let's keep rolling. Chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius, this was 3:00 in the afternoon. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers, thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. I see a lot of cool stuff in this right here. We can look and we can spend a lot of time on the obvious and looking at Cornelius and where he was as a man of faith, even though he was a Gentile and he was outside the Jewish covenant. But he was coming in this place of faith as a, I guess you could say, a proselyte Jew. And he had this encounter with God, a vision, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the angel of the Lord came and began to address him and began to commune with him and all of this stuff. And so what did he do? He had dialogue with him. It reminds me of Samuel when he was a little kid. And God started appearing to him at night. He went into Eli, and he's like, Eli, what do you want? And Eli, like, man, I don't, go back to sleep. I didn't say nothing. Third time, Eli finally recognized and said, man, God's speaking to him. He said, go back and ask him what he wants. So Samuel goes back as a child. He says, all right, God, what do you want? And God starts talking to him. So he recognizes opportunity. One of the cool things that's happening in my life right now is God is speaking to me like He has, and I think it's because I'm in a different level of perspective, but God's speaking to me like He had never spoke to me before. He's speaking to me more in the prophetic right now than He's ever spoken to me in the prophetic, and having words for people and stuff like that, that's cool. And then He's showing me stuff and allowing me to tap into stuff, and then I'll hear a wave of that coming from somewhere else. 2 months later, 3 months later, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. God spoke that to me already. It's one thing to hear what God's doing somewhere else after the fact and say, man, that's cool, man. That's awesome, God. But when God speaks it to you beforehand, and here's the thing for me, Jamie, is to recognize that I'm in this unique place with God right now and to pay attention to that and say, okay, how do we facilitate that? The word that I had, one of the words I had for Kenny when I was sharing and we were praying with Kenny up here Sunday morning was the fact that when I was talking about, you know, you're not just going to play out in life and God's not done with you and da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff. And I said the unique thing right now is that you can speak from not only experience, but it's not just a speaking from experience, but it's because you see things from a different perspective. And when we change our altitude or change our plane, then we can see things from a different perspective. And that gives us a whole new, and I think that's what God's allowing me to do right now. So what do I need to do? I need to seize that opportunity. I need to recognize that. I need to pursue that. And I need to be faithful to release that. And if that means I need to go some places to plug into it more, then that's awesome. If it means I need just to exercise it more on this level, that's awesome. That's what we've got to do. And so you see Cornelius coming in here, and God speaking to him, and him having dialogue with God. One awesome thing about this that I absolutely love is the angel. And we say, well, God knows everything and all that. But the angel comes in, he said, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lives in Simon, he's staying in Simon the Tanner's house. God knew that Peter was staying at Simon the Tanner's house. That kind of reminds me of, was it Obadiah that had the Ark of the Covenant that stayed at his house for a while? Wasn't it Obadiah? That was it, wasn't it, Ida? He came in and it stayed there, and it said everything about his household was blessed because the Ark stayed there. So you got here Simon the Tanner saying, hey, Peter, stay at my house, and heaven takes notice. Heaven writing this down. I mean, think about it. Heaven's sitting here writing this down. Saying, Micah's hosting the presence well. You know where we can send people to get to find the presence? At Micah's house. With Micah. You notice that? I want us to host the presence so well at Victory Fellowship that when three guys come in from out of town and they Google, and I don't know what they Google, when you Google and say, where can I go to a Spirit-filled church? And the Lord says, you know the best place for them to go is... Why do y'all think the Blake House got hooked up with us? There's a lot of churches that they could get hooked up with. Why do you think they got hooked up with us? Because God knew we hosted the presence well. He said, those guys need presence. So I'm going to send those guys into this place on a consistent, regular basis. Because that's what they need. God took note. when you go out and you engage opportunity and you seize opportunity, heaven takes notice. And when you're indifferent to it, heaven takes notice. You know whose house he did not send Cornelius to? Bob's house. You know why he didn't send him to Bob's house? Because Peter wasn't there. You say, I just don't have these visitations from the Lord, Pastor Sid. Might be because you're not hosting opportunity or seizing opportunity. Huh? Heaven notices it. Cornelius, that never come to my house. It's because you ain't hosting Peter. When these weddings start turning back into a nuisance, you know what will happen? People will stop asking me. You know why God's sending duct tapes to you, Gordon? I know that's misidentification, but Gordon came in 2 days ago and asked me, that's the couple that sits right here that's in the bike club. And he said, did I tell you about so-and-so? And I'm like, who? He said, so-and-so. I was like, who? He said, duct tape. I said, oh, I know who you're talking about now. So even I tap into misidentification because I gave him prophetic words and that's misidentification. This is identification. But when we stop hosting it well, the Lord will stop sending those people to us. If you feel like you're in a dry place or a barren place and all that, it might be because you're not recognizing opportunity and seizing opportunity to host the presence. Because I promise you, when you host the presence, when Peter is at your house, God's going to send people there. And I'm just saying that figuratively. When Peter's at your house, God's going to send people there. When you're hosting the presence, you're going to have encounters. Opportunity will find you. Exactly. It's not about you. It's about what you're hosting. And opportunity will come not just from when it slams you in, but it will come from places that are near. That's the thing I want us to get. If something's near, let's seize it. Don't think just because it's not right in front of me. Jessica, what grade do you teach? So you get all the high school kids, right? Does that mean you can exclusively minister to high school kids and not middle school kids? But they're not near. Or they're not right there in your face. They're not in your classroom. But they are near. Y'all see what I'm saying with that little illustration right there? Is it we think, well, that's not in my little box, in my little thing. Peter's coming in and he's healing these cats and he's raising them from the dead. Look at the different things in ministry he's doing. Then he's going in and he's preaching and all of them get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he didn't even lay hands on anybody. I absolutely love that part of it. But I look in verse 5 and 6 and I think it is so cool because God says, or the angel of the Lord's coming here and he says, hey, go on up to send men to Joppa and ask for Peter because he's staying at Simon the Tanner's house. And God took note where he was at. Opportunity. Let's see what time it is. Snap, it's 8 o'clock. Okay. We know the story on this. As soon as the angel left Cornelius, you know what he did. He took two of his servants and a devout soldier, and he sent them to Joppa. He was at Caesarea. It was about 35 miles, so it was more than a day's journey. And he sends them because he said, you know what, anointing's there. And the Lord said, I need to go and tap into that. And so he did it. You know what the end result was? His whole household got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I love his expectation. Peter walks in the door, he falls down, starts worshiping. That's not ignorance, that's expectation. He's like, dude, I am so expecting God just to roll off of you. You know, I'm gonna get mauled by the Holy Ghost because God sent you and he told me you had the words to life. And he was expecting that. So he reached out for opportunity. Peter did the same thing. He comes in. One cool little tidbit on this. Y'all notice what Peter said when he went in up to Caesarea. And he said, hey, y'all know it's unlawful for me to be in here with you guys and all that, but nevertheless, who had he just hosted overnight at his place? A Roman soldier and two servants. So sometimes opportunity is inconvenient. Sometimes opportunity is uncomfortable. Sometimes the guy you really don't want to talk to is the guy that needs ministering to the most. Hello? Just be aware of it. I'm out of time. We could keep plowing in this for a couple more hours, and hopefully y'all would give me more feedback. But let's stand to our feet. First time that Errol went and played ball out in Los Angeles, we went out there, and of course the girls kind of had this agenda of what they wanted to do. Aaliyah and I think Brett went with us and all, and they had some of these cool little restaurants that they wanted to go to out in L.A. And I can't remember the name of them or anything like that, but some of these cool little restaurants was where the stars ate at sometimes. And that's what people would flock to these restaurants because just maybe, you fill in the blank, you know, I might see Mel Gibson eating there or Sandra Bullock or, you know, whoever. And people would go to these restaurants, and we went to one of them, I don't know, the Vine or something like that. The what? Ivy. Yes. We went to Ivy. I didn't see anybody famous. Cool little restaurant, though. But people would flock to these things with the hopes of an opportunity to see somebody famous and be near somebody famous. You say that? We used to drive to certain the girls to get Chipper Jones' autograph. Go to the ballpark 3 hours early for batting practice so we could shag fly balls out in the left field bleachers, get a baseball. I probably still got three or four of them at Mama's house, and some of them's got autographs on them where I got a major league player to sign it, or somebody hit this, or somebody did that. And we will, if something that we deem as intriguing or significant to us, we will go a little bit extra for opportunity's sake, won't we? We'll go a little bit extra for opportunity's sake. Let's realize the potential in our spiritual life, and let's start going a little bit extra for opportunity's sake. Just maybe I can be something that facilitates change in somebody's life. Maybe I can go and have a Genesis moment or facilitate a Genesis moment for somebody else. So let's just heighten our awareness of that, and let's tap into that. Okay? God wants us to be world changers. Sometimes you've got to get out of Jerusalem to be a world changer. And sometimes you got to leave Joppa to be a world changer. And sometimes you got to go to Caesarea and you got to host some people. And sometimes you got to be hosted by some people. So let's just tap into that. Father, we come to you tonight, and I love you and I lift you up. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your word, and I pray that it would be challenging to us. I pray that it would stir in us, God. Stretch us, Father. Let us move and get outside of our box, our boxes that we create, Let us see the potential for opportunity in places that are near or not so near, and let us reach out for those things. I pray that we would just seek you in all of this, God, and just say, God, what can I tap into? Or who could tap into me? And let's just stretch ourselves in that. And let's extend ourselves to heaven and say, God, you just lead us and stir in us and move us. And Lord, I pray your blessings on everybody in here tonight. And God, just touch and just draw them to you. And God, just let us have divine encounters with you. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.